Welcome to My Wild Magic with me, your host, Adrienne Cobb. Join me on a journey back home to your truest self in this inspiring, enlightening, and entertaining show. After a near-death experience in a car crash at 15 years old, I made a choice to stay and brought back with me three simple truths that I found from the other side. Love is all there is. Our time is over here quicker than we think. And we all have a purpose, a soul blueprint to fulfill. On this show, you will find a higher purpose, a creative expression, and unique soul attributes that you can bring forth into this world. Stay tuned with me for the next hour and find your higher purpose on My Wild Magic, starting now. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining me and my special guest today, Raji Kabil. And so she is founder of Wholehearted Media and House of Raji. You can look at that at houseofraji.com. And she is a personal and professional spiritual lifestyle being able to work with people, celebrating, inspiring, and showcasing what living an aligned, harmonious existence with life as a multifaceted, multidimensional being can look like, which is, that's a lot. That's a lot to take on there, Raji. Yeah, pretty cool. She is also a well-traveled global storyteller, certified heart math and accelerated evolution coach and yoga meditation teacher. So Raji, welcome. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me. Super excited to see you and talk to you.
Yeah, right. So one of the things we were going to be looking at today that it sounds like you have been working with people on is, for one, really being in that heart-centered alignment. That may be the first thing we kind of want to talk about, but also moving into how to take care of, nurture, be present to our own inner child, you know, which is great. Because I find that in our humanity, it's all relationship oriented, but when you haven't learned how to take care of your own inner child, we do set other people, friends, partners, people, work people up to do that for us.
Totally. You nailed it. And they start filling these roles in our life that they don't necessarily need to. And I think it's all part of that coming into yourself, coming into your sovereignty. I know that word is being used a lot these days, but like, what does that actually mean? And so I've taken deep dives with that word and other facets of radical responsibility for my life. The minute that I decided and chose that I am responsible for every single thing in my life, it was one of the most empowering acts and thoughts and concepts, beliefs that I had, all while it was like, man, really, I'm responsible for everything. Like, yeah. And it's okay. It's okay. And that's when I talk about the parenting yourself, that has to come in, because, you know, we're super hard on ourselves sometimes, Adrienne, and we all grew up with some aspect of mother or father. Maybe some of us, it wasn't as conventional, but you know, mistakes were made along the way, and now we can course correct, and now we have the maturity, now we have the awareness, now we have the consciousness, now we have the love, presumably as we grow in our spiritual evolution, to be that loving, kind, assertive, gentle, open parent to ourselves. So that's sort of a little
bit. So the big thing that I'm hearing you say is that you really shattered some core belief systems when you realize that you're ultimately responsible. That's going to immediately shatter tons of belief systems in one fell swoop. So what was that like for you? Like, what kind of brought you to that point?
Well, I was in this point in my life where I was blaming my parents for everything. Like, I have gone through such a transformation with my mom and dad. And in my early 20s, I hated them. I blamed them for everything. It was their fault. You know, I didn't have the best of this. And like, I was just always complaining, and I needed someone to offload on. They didn't give me enough care. They didn't even want me. Like, you know, all of these stories in a way, which helped propel me to eventually leave Toronto altogether and start a new life in a different country because, you know, that was the best course of action at that time. I super ran away from my problems, like a lot. It was my default. Run away from relationships, run away from bad jobs I didn't like, just run away and everything will be fine. No, it doesn't work like that. It eventually catches up to you. So when I started taking like full responsibility for my life, it was a combination of leaving a dream job, leaving a relationship, starting on my own freelance journey, like leaving the 9-to-5 and really going forth and following my heart, no matter what. And that was like a caveat. So I was at a low point in my life. And, you know, there's a martial arts saying that I love. And it's like, when you think you're at the bottom, you're really at the top. And when you're at the top, you're really at the bottom. So that always ruminates in my head. And, you know, hindsight, I could see that I was strong in that low point. Mm-hmm. So yes, there's a lot of transitions that were happening in my life. And I had no choice, because whatever I was doing up here wasn't really working. And I had done plant medicine, and I've been a meditator for, at that time, like over 10 years. And so I had spiritual practices, but something was missing. Mm-hmm. Something like, why was I still so unsatisfied? Why was I still wrestling with internal conflict, you know, feeling this one way, but acting a different way? When I started dialing into the fact that my actions and my words were not lining up, that's where I was like, okay, stop right there. We need to look at this, because it's going to translate into my work. It's going to translate into my relationship, translate to my health. And so I really needed to take a look at that. And it was as simple as making a declaration. You know, I love doing that. I love literally writing out, especially, you know, using full moon, new moon times, like on this day, at this time, at this location, I, Rajwinder Kabli, hereby declare X, Y, and Z for me. And this is why, hear me now type thing. So that's all part of the spiritual empowerment that started to come through. And yeah, I hope
so. So basically then it sounds like when you left Toronto, you went to another country. Yeah. And that sounds like that kind of catalyzed you into what I would sort of also say is like the hero's journey, which all humans kind of, if they're brave enough, go on. And there's an excellent book called The Destiny Giver, where this guy, he kind of uses it like a parable. Mm-hmm. So no one wants to become somebody. So nobody wants to become somebody, and he goes on this journey. But just like with all the tales in the Bible and all the different tales in mythology and all the tales that have been trained by the indigenous people, there's this thing that happens in our nervous system. Like, first you have to go up against your parents in your local community, and they don't want you to go, and they want you to stay. And
yeah.
And then you push against them and you go, and then you're like, oh my God, I'm so alone. And you get past that. And then there's like these big giants in life, and then there's bullies, and there's this and that. So there's like literally, like in the human journey, there's these things that our nervous system, like, it's just almost like inevitably sort of plays out this way in our collective. And it sounds like you are for sure on the hero's journey, and maybe really more on the, you know, a more fulfilling end of that right now. So you went to another country, but what was it that actually got your attention? Like, you've explained some of it, but was there any kind of moment that really just ignited for you?
That it's time to leave.
It's time to leave. It's time for me to take responsibility for my life. Was there a book you read, somebody you talked to, a certain life experience? Like, I know it's a multiple things, but was there one thing that kind of catalyzed it for you?
Definitely. I would have to say it was the first time I got my heart broken, and I loved him so much. And it was devastating when he just stopped paying attention to me and started partying and going out. It was our first year of university. And, you know, I was like, hey, like, what about me? And I felt so abandoned and all these issues started coming up. And I started smoking weed and getting into like different crews of people that I normally wouldn't hang out with. So I started going down this path, but
and then your parents knew you.
Yeah, exactly. While all of this is going on, I'm like reading about Buddhism. What is this thing called meditation? Should I follow the Eightfold Path to Enlightenment? And yes. What is this thing, the universe, that apparently loves me and can hear me all the time? And I'm like, what? And it was Synchrodestiny by Deepak Chopra, which like blew my mind. And that was the first time I even fathomed that there's a universe out there that I can communicate with. And I was done. I was like, whoa, there's something out there that loves me. Like no matter what.
Yeah. Now you're woke. You're woke to that fact. Yeah. Right.
Find that. Yeah. Okay. Because I was so hurt. I was like, nobody loves me. I'm not lovable. But then I read that, hey, there's something out there. And I was like, oh, what is this? And then here comes the seeker, like just hardcore reading books, listening to speakers, constantly journaling, evaluating my own process of, in my meditations. The meditations started to become very, I find that when you're first starting the path, the meditations become like tantalizing in a way, or they start like, I was having experiences, I would get tingles and I was, you know, different experiences would happen, which kept drawing me in even more, like, ooh, what is this? And then it was How to Know God, again, by Deepak Chopra, which really like opened things up. And then as I'm reading through old journals, I started noticing I would refer to God as Father and the universe as Mother. And that was like a real game changer for me, because here I was left at the age of 22 because there's nothing here for me. There's no one here for me. I'm on my own. I'm gonna go start a new life in South Korea, across the world, in a country that doesn't speak really English. I don't speak South Korean or Korean, but I'm gonna go because there's something more out there. And I'm going to go find out. And so when I got there, whoa, I think I cried for like the first 2 days. And
because I was like, sure. Yeah,
I do. Yes. And I missed my family and I missed everyone. By the way, everything has completely changed with my parents. We are.
I think that when you start working on your own inner child, it does heal these relationships to the generational or heritage and stuff. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back in just a minute to continue this really awesome conversation with finding self, finding God, finding the universe. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. And yes, our office is open and we are doing strictly phone consultations. If you would like to call and get tuned up, it's perfect time with everything that's going on and things aren't calming down. Pick up the phone and give us a call. It's quick and easy and it's fun. If you'd like more information on it, you can look at MaryJaneMack.com or call our office at 888-777-4232.
Are you wanting more for your life? Are you ready to create your life with confidence and contribution? We all have a gift to give to the world. Becoming you is that gift. In order to truly live your life, you have to become you on purpose and with intention. Leah Rowling supports you in becoming you using the B Method, consistently producing results for hundreds of entrepreneurs and business owners. For more information, visit leahrowling.com.
Feeling stuck? Journey into a new exciting reality today. Join Coach Christine Clark as she helps you forge the life you desire. Through processes that shape, hone, refine, elasticize, and transform you, go beyond the curve and call in your unique destiny. Tune into the show, Forging a Life, live every fourth Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To work with Christine, visit SunglowTransformation.com. Are you trying to figure out the best way to learn about your life purpose and how to access your soul gifts? Let Adrienne Cobb introduce you to the power behind her Wild Magic membership. Adrienne's Wild Magic membership is a one-of-a-kind, ongoing monthly program designed to connect you to your own life mastery and to live in a more expanded consciousness with your tribes of light. To learn more, visit mywildmagic.com. That is mywildmagic.com.
Hey, welcome back. Thank you so much for being on the podcast today. And we have Raji with us. She is an amazing storyteller. She is talking to us about the universe, the divine, coming into our own, and specifically really kind of how to parent our own inner child. So on our way to getting to how to parent our inner child, in terms of your journey, you know, it sounds as though it sort of kind of got birthed in a sense through heartache, love, you know, the most powerful healer of all, and caused you to move to South Korea, you know, where you just cried and opened up your energy there.
Yep.
But the, you know, in doing all that, it sounds as though what we were talking about on the break is really sort of meeting that part of ourselves that feels so unworthy of love. So can you say anything about that in terms of your experience of that and what you think about it in humanity?
Totally. Thank you. Just to close that loop with the South Korea, within the first week and prior to leaving, like mom and dad had a very intense conversation. You know, they were crying. I was crying. They're like, please don't go. Don't do this. Go to teacher's college. Do this first. And I had just finished my degree. No, I want to do this. It's what, you know, I really, really want to do this. 22 years old. And I had just finished Landmark as well. That was the first thing that I kind of did. And then I got to South Korea within the first week. Me and dad got on the phone and he said something that I had been waiting for years. And it was, I'm proud of you. And,
wow.
And just to hear that, I was like, okay, like the rest of this journey in South Korea, it could be the best thing, could be the worst thing. I don't care. But
I know this crying thing is done now. I got that proud vote. Yeah.
Yeah. But, and it made me think like, wow, kids do so many things just to hear I'm proud of you from their parent. And it bothers me. That really bothered me a lot. And then I had to accept it and stuff. But let's fast forward a little bit. So South Korea, and let's talk about love. Like at this point in my life, love, it was like an enigma. It like shows up sometimes. Most of the time it's not there. I have to fight for it. I need it. I think I need it. But then most times I'm rejecting it because I'm like, no, I'm a lone wolf. I'm on my island by myself because no one can hurt me. So I didn't even realize how closed and how walled up my heart was, even though I'm doing these meditations, even though I'm going to.
True that. I get it.
You know what I mean? It's like wild, right? It's like we're doing so much work, but without even realizing like how strong our walls are.
And how to be present. It sounds like, you know, we can do all the spiritual work without really fully being present in our heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is that all about?
Yeah.
So you're working from here. So I love thinking. My overthinking has gotten much better. I love analyzing. It's part of like my journalistic side as well. And so I came to a point in my life where I was done with the job that I was in. The relationship had completely dissolved And I knew that there was more. And I was just tired of my mind a little bit. Cause I'm like, whatever I'm doing up here ain't working. I need help. There's got to be more. What is it? And I came into contact with HeartMath. But even prior to coming into contact with HeartMath, I didn't even realize what I, as I was jumping from South Korea back to Toronto, lived in Japan, back to Toronto, moved to BC, and back to Toronto. Like all these shifts was me following my heart, because what other guidance could I go on? Like I could analyze the crap out of it, but I knew that something already knew that there's a feeling and I need to go with that feeling, even though no one understands it, even though I don't even understand it sometimes, I still have to go because I'm a seeker and I'm an explorer and life's an adventure. And I want to see what this universe thing is and how much we can play, you know, how much, what is this dance? So HeartMath comes in. I'm like, wow, look at these guys. They're a wonderful organization.
This is heartmath.org. So that's HeartMath.org. You can look them up. They have a lot of really cool products, books, ways to test out your stress level, your heart monitor, and to bring you into harmonic resonance with your heart and your head. Yep. Fantastic organization. It's been around for many years, very well qualified, and highly recommend checking them out. Yeah. So go ahead.
So the first technique that you usually learn with HeartMath is heart-focused breathing. Heart-focused breathing, new baseline was created. And I noticed very quickly changes. Like when I would go into a tough interview or a stressful meeting of some sort, I would do some heart-focused breathing. And at this point, you know, I would close my eyes and just 3 minutes. And going into that conversation completely changed vibes, change energy. And then I started practicing it all the time. And now, like right now, I'm in my heart. But it took a lot of practice. And you can be standing in line, eyes open, but still be.
Give me an example of the 3 minute heart breathing that you do. I do one too, coming from HeartMath. Yeah, it's really awesome. So tell me your technique.
Okay, so eyes open, eyes closed. Bring all your attention and awareness to the center of your chest, into your heart space. And you just imagine your breath is flowing in and out of your heart. Mm-hmm. You can just see it. And then sometimes you can feel your spirit or your being drop into your heart. And then you're breathing a little bit slower, a little bit more deep. I've even noticed, Adrian, sometimes let's say I'm talking to somebody and it's a conflicting situation. I realize I'm not in my heart. I drop into my heart while we're interacting, and I have seen it with my own eyes, the conversation completely shifts.
Yeah,
this
absolutely.
Other person just feels it. And people are drawn to people, you know, that are open-hearted. Listen, our hearts naturally want to be open. Like our heart's natural disposition is like,
right.
You know, know what it feels
like. That's part of who we are.
Exactly. But you know how it feels to come into contact with a contracted heart, right?
Yeah.
You feel it, but we're hurt. You know, we got hurt. Somebody told us something one time at one place and, you know, we shut down. And so our whole life, we're just kind of trying to open. Now, that why I love HeartMath so much is because it gave me the science behind all of it. So for example, the heart emits a frequency that can be measured up to 3 feet outside of the body. They think it's much more, but right now they can measure 3 feet, and it's our field. Well, a lot of things live in this field. Predominantly our emotions live in this field. So we're just like walking around interacting with each other's fields. And so the minute that you come into harmony, coherence, it's a completely different vibe, and you have the ability to help shift or, I don't know if elevate's the right word, but you have the capacity to actually help somebody just by your energy.
It does raise the vibration.
It does raise
the vibration.
It does, right.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So there's another part to this heart story. And so I got the science that I needed from HeartMath, and then I got the spiritual soul aspect of heart through Journeys into the Heart and working with Daniel Mattel and Luke Sellers and these guys who run workshops about the tiny space of the heart. I had no idea about this tiny space of the heart.
What's so that? Tell us, what is it?
So there's a lower heart and there's an upper heart.
Oh yeah.
Chambers, and you can go into them. And this is where you can access like Akashic records and meet guides and travel the cosmos in a way. It's your home, essentially. And I remember the first time I ever got into my heart, I was guided by a very amazing teacher, and I got into my heart and I just cried.
So give us an example. So we got our heart breath flowing. I'm just asking everybody who's listening right now, just breathe in and out of your heart, get that flow going. Okay. Now help us get to that, that sacred chamber.
Okay. So bring all your awareness to the center of your brain. And imagine it's like a house, and you are a house, and you're at the attic, and you're at the top, and it's dark, and you're right in the center. And the walls are like really far away, and you're right in the center. Feel that. And the right in front of you, a golden spiral staircase forms. Like, go there and start descending down this beautiful golden spiraling staircase. Keep going and passing your nose, passing your throat, coming into your chest cavity. And you start to like feel like, whoa, you're coming to something pretty epic. It's your heart. It's your heart. So dropping down, there's, let's say, a platform to the left. So hang a left, and then a doorway. That's the doorway to your heart. Hold onto the handle. Push it open. Don't hesitate. Go in now and close the door behind you. Take a look, feel around, maybe ask for the lights to be turned on. What shows up? Is there trees? Can you feel the wind? Can you hear the ocean? Are there animals? This is your sanctuary.
Yeah. Boy, I just get chills after chills walking into that room. That is awesome.
Right. I know. Oh, so yeah, I cried. I opened my eyes from that first meditation, and I'm looking around at like the other eight people. No one's really reacting. The teacher looks at me, sees my reaction, because I was like, what have I been doing for 8 years meditating? What was that?
Okay. So on that note, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a moment with an open heart and connected spirit with Roger. Right back.
Tune into the Dr. Diane Show, where we explore revolutionary expansion of mind, body, and soul every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I bring over 20 years of expertise as a mindset warrior, perspective shifter, and unshakable optimist dedicated to helping you reach your wildest dreams in business, health, performance, and relationships. Join the discussion on the show. Learn more about me, Dr. Diane, and receive a free digital copy of my magazine at naturalnutmeg.com.
Are you constantly trying to figure out who you are, where you belong, and what your purpose is? Then let Adrian Cobb guide you to the core of your soul blueprint. Knowing your soul blueprint helps you to figure out your life in a way that works best for you on your own terms. You'll walk away feeling genuinely seen, heard, and appreciated for the gift that you truly are in the universe. To register for her Soul Blueprint online course and Soul Blueprint reading, visit mywildmagic.com. That is mywildmagic.com.
Courtney Cottrell, is walking in her purpose, creating incredible tools to level up your life. Let's introduce you to the Unapologetically Favored Gift Shop, your one-stop shop for all Courtney's motivational books, custom created, inspirational gifts, and more. Products that remind you of your purpose on this planet, infused with the passion to uplift lives. Shop apparel, books, wall art, and more at shopfavored.net.
Join the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each month as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia Stephanie is a spiritual teacher, passionate speaker, published author, and founder of the Empower Network. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. For more information, go to corneliastephanie.com.
Do you question what an authentic life really looks like? Tune in to The Alley Effect with Allison Blythe, authentically living life your way. Every first and third Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where Allison Blythe brings you tools, resources, and actionable steps toward your very best life. Take responsibility for your own happiness. For more about Allison, visit Allison, A-L-L-Y-S-O-N, Blythe, B-L-Y-T-H-E.com.
Welcome back. So, Raji, do you work with people? Do you work with people at all? Do you do workshops? Do you work with people individually? Any way that people can get in touch with you, what you offer? If you can tell me.
So I have a few different offerings on my website. My website is www.houseofraji.com.
And that's R-A-G-I-E, House R-A-J-I-E. Of Raji. I'm sorry, R-A-J-I-E. Yeah. A little dyslexic there. Yeah.
All good. Houseofraji.com. And yeah, you can book a one-on-one with me, and I'm going to be launching a group thing very soon. Part of me, like even doing this interview live, like, I mean, like I do on camera work, like my journalistic self, but this is super close to my heart. And so you're catching me in a moment of like, just getting comfortable talking about things I really, really, really love to talk about.
I'm so glad to create a platform for that. Yeah, you're awesome. Yeah,
so. Thank you. Super appreciate that. So yeah, there's a bunch of different products on the website, and I love working with people.
And one-on-one, what kind of thing do you do with them?
It really depends on what they need. I like to start off with just a simple, like, what's going on in your life. Most people have some type of emotional issue that's going on, or they're in transition. Maybe they're leaving a job, they just got divorced, they just moved countries. There's some transition that's been going on. So I help them integrate. A lot of the work that I do is integration work. So we're integrating aspects that are kind of floating out there, whether it's unworthiness, unlovable, or rejection, or abandonment. These patterns and issues that keep reoccurring in our lives, well, we can integrate them. It's not about rejecting them. These are showing up. Believe it or not, they have a positive intention for you.
Right. Which actually, we were just talking in a break about, rites of passage and initiations, and sometimes that divorce, that breakup, that move to another country, that loss of something or somebody, are oftentimes the initiations we're speaking of that maybe, I think, you know, we were just talking about how a lot of times people probably blame the situation for their life being bad, instead of, you know, really seeing it as a tool that actually helps their soul evolve. So it sounds like you help people to kind of come back into the rites of passage.
Yes. Take your rights. Yeah. And we were just talking about the fact that society isn't, as it is right now, isn't really set up for the adult to fully be a recognized, realized adult in a way. There's a lot of like emotionally distraught humans walking around, and they say that your emotional intelligence level, you can tell by like the trauma that happened at a young age can be realized by the way that the person is reacting emotionally to a situation, the adult. If you, you're acting like a 7-year-old, you're acting like a, you know, like a 5-year-old, well, maybe something happened back then. And that could be like a little starting place to look at when, you know, you want to be better. You know, you want to be better for yourself. You want to be better for your kids. You want to be better for your husband or wife. And so I think that leads the person down this path of personal development, which ultimately leads to, I think, spiritual evolution and, you know, finding the divinity. What is the divine? How is the divine connected to me? Am I divine? Well, is she divine? Is he divine?
Even when we're not getting our way about something.
Even when we're not getting,
because they're divine and they're lovely up until that moment, I find, for a lot of people.
Yes. But can you cultivate enough compassion for that individual's experience? Can you view them with the eyes of they're a conscious being with choice, just like I'm a conscious being with choice? And so it's their also right to choose what they want. And you have the right to choose. You can get up and leave. You can choose to stay and listen and work it out and talk it out and stuff. I really help. I like helping people becoming empowered.
I have a question about that, right? So as we're learning how to kind of teach like how to raise our own inner child, I'm curious, like, where do you give that? Like when you do have parents either who's made life transitions or they're still in form, where do they sort of fit in your life once that happens? Like what goes on when you start literally taking that role away from them in a way to basically parent your own child in a way that matches your soul's evolution, your inner energy? What happens to that relationship with the parents or family?
You know what? You know what happens? They become your friend. And they become a freaking awesome ally that you can finally be open with and feel accepted and loved and cared for, because guess what? You did it for yourself. So it's okay.
Right. So who wouldn't want that? And I'd imagine that the parents feel very successful having children who are coping in the world, managing in the world, living in the world on their own terms. You know what I mean? Yes. So I think sometimes we think that parents want to control us, micromanage us, tell us what to do, or maybe they're completely absent. But, you know, it seems as though they only do that if they feel out of control of your well-being. But the minute you start taking responsibility, they actually aren't probably near as controlling, don't even want the headache of trying to control you. Because it's such a nightmare trying to control children, you know, for any parent. It really is hard on them. Gotta have a little compassion. Yeah.
It's so true. And literally last month on my birthday, I had a conversation. As you know, I'm in Mexico right now. My parents are in Ontario, Canada. We were talking, me and dad, and he said something that I had been waiting almost my whole life again to hear, many, many years, because there's a whole other conversation that we can have around marriage and in my culture. If you could be the CEO of Google, but if you're not married and have kids, it doesn't freaking matter. Wow. So there's a whole other like dynamic of like, when are you going to settle down? This one question would send me on a tailspin of,
oh man,
what is settling down? So we would go back and forth. And on my birthday last month, you know, we're talking, and all of a sudden my dad says, you know, I'm done. Like, I don't want to ask you about marriage anymore. If you want to get married, get married. You don't want to get married, it's okay. I just want to see you happy.
Wow. That must be huge, considering the cultural generational pressure.
Yes. I didn't even believe him. I felt so bad. So I was like, what? I was like, Dad, are you sure? I was like, and he's like, what do you mean? Are you sure? And I was like, no, I'm serious. Like, because in the past he's said, you know, these types of things, but then it was coming from a place of like hurt and like, you know, like, oh, I don't care, you know, like in that way. So when he's like, I just want to see you happy. You're doing awesome. You are doing your life. and continue. And you know that we are home. You have a home anytime you want to come back. And I just
I mean, it's so great to have that much support, that much acceptance. And for him to even be able to, in his own mind, take off the generational pressure. Because, you know, sometimes people, they're as good of a parent, like their children make them as good as they are as a parent. So if their children isn't doing what society says, the parent sucks, right, in their culture.
Yes.
So that was even huge for him, a lot of freedom for him.
Totally. Because he's like, I don't want to worry anymore. And my health, and he's the one that said it. And I was just like in awe and shock. And another thing, Adrian, is that I think children also, we're here for our parents' evolution as well.
Absolutely.
And, you know, as much as, you know, they're helping and guiding us on our paths, I have pushed my parents much, you know, to
both. Yeah.
Yes. In my lifestyle, in the way that I speak and everything. I'm going to leave it on.
So we've looked at heart math. We've looked at how you've come into the chamber of the Sacred Heart, that it's really your home. So we've got a couple things kind of in, you know, kind of like built up in our system that people can actively sort of practice now. I'm assuming these are good foundations if you want to be a parent to your own inner child.
Yes.
Because the inner child relates very much to love, feeling safe, being present in your body.
Yep.
So even with people who are very spiritual, sometimes there might be that sense of being spiritual, but being out of your body. Mm. And the inner child doesn't feel very safe with that a lot of times. So I really like the way you're breathing through the heart, bringing that descension. Instead of ascending out of our body, we're really about descending our spirit into form and having these magnificent experiences. And that's really where maybe the wounded inner child becomes the magical child.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly. And that's where
miracles happen.
It was in my heart that I encountered after a whole plant medicine ceremony where I encountered my inner child, plus the Christ consciousness is also sort of tied into this as well. But it was in my heart that, you know, little 5-year-old Raj is like running around, you know, having fun, doing her thing. And so there's like high self, little Raj, and me. And sometimes I'm just the observer. And here's the three of us in this beautiful, magical space, like in my sanctuary, in my heart, like the ocean's over there, there's a waterfall over there, there's a beautiful forest, and there's like a green meadow with like flowers. And it's always there. And when I go in, I'm like, ah, nice. And then she is running around and like playing and stuff. But when there's something going on, meaning there's a disharmony or a point of contention that needs some healing, there's some hurt going on, the three of us come together. Essentially, we're one, but sometimes they fracture just so we can communicate in the best and most optimal way. And usually the healing will take place as a light and touch. And there's a hug and an embrace of some sort. And then once the embrace happens, the merge happens. So yes, we start off separate, but then it merges.
Okay, so we're going to take a quick break on that note. We're going to come back and go just right into that. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about Maximum Medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.sharonmartinmd.com.
It takes courage to step into your calling and go for your dreams. Sabotage monsters can get in your way, preventing you from reaching your potential. You can choose to struggle alone, or you can choose community and support, someone to walk beside you, meeting you where you are. If you are ready to make real and lasting change, Coach Christine Clark is here for you. Find out more about one-on-one coaching and group programs with Coach Christine at sunglowtransformation.com.
Does your life often feel like an emotional tsunami where rogue waves crash down on you, leaving you feeling hopeless and wondering if it will ever end? Do you wish to awaken the dormant strength inside of you? Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Start today by scheduling a complimentary consultation with Martinet. Dive into your healing journey and begin to see your life in a new light. Visit martinetemmons.com and make your appointment today.
Welcome back. You're listening to My Wild Magic with Adrian. You can check out what I have to offer at mywildmagic.com. Again, that's mywildmagic.com, doing one-on-one sessions, awesome quests, Hearts on Fire meditation group, and the Soul Blueprint. So we are with Raji, and we are working with the inner child today and learning how to parent our inner child. And she was just taking us through this amazing kind of connection and seeing through the eyes of the inner child. So could just go straight back into where we left off, actually, because that was such a beautiful, I feel like we almost were there and then boom, had to go to a break.
Right. The suspense. I love it. So we left off at the point of high self, me, inner child. And then there is a touch point. There's a physical, like there's a hug, and that's the merger.
Like a one heart breath. It's
one,
like
exactly
a hug, and your breathing is one.
Exactly. And you said it so perfectly and beautifully, Adrian. You said that it's instantaneous healing that can happen without the mind kind of coming in and saying, well, why is this happening? How is this happening? Who is this happening for? No, none of that. You just like relish in this perfect healing. And sometimes it's quiet. Sometimes it's very emotional. And that's okay too. So we sort of touched on the fact that,
Well, the touch point I think is important. You know, one thing I've noticed in working with some clients around some of this as well is that the minute you bring in that higher presence with the inner child and you actually go into an embrace, mm-hmm. what I found psychologically, emotionally, and even in the chemistry of your body is it creates a bonding. And when mm-hmm. you think about coming into this world, if one or both parents was not completely present, they may not have been able to bond with you. So mm-hmm. when you go in, what you just described was a beautiful way that we don't feel so alone in the world. We feel like we're bonding, not to the parent, but actually to the presence, our own higher presence. That's what I think the touch is really important, what you're saying.
I love that
you're saying it so simply. Is just touch, just a hug.
Just a hug. How, and then, you know,
so
like,
healing.
It's so healing, and it's the feeling of it. You're not alone. And so doing that practice of whenever something would come up, like jealousy or resentment or anger in some instances, like I would go into that safe and sacred space in my heart, and I would listen. So some of the stuff that the inner child needs is acceptance is a huge one. It needs love. It needs to be heard, seen, acknowledged, because all of this ties back to self-worth issues coming back, you know, from our earlier in the conversation. A lot of souls don't feel worthy of being here, of even being alive. You know, a lot of it is conditioning. But the mere fact that we are alive makes us worthy. And when I digested that one, it's still landing. And I love that because that feels like truth and a very important part of the heart. And why I'll never stop talking about it is the fact that I believe that truth resides in the center of our being.
So that's another important part. So sometimes people, particularly if they're mental or visual in their intuition or the way they process, they might be trying to do a lot of this in their head. But yes, it feels like there is a really big difference in really centering yourself in the heart and mm-hmm. doing this exercise of bringing your present moment self, your inner child, whatever age shows up, and your higher presence together in the heart center is really where the crux of the healing can take place, which is in the mind, you might understand some things, but in the heart, it sounds like it really heals it on a more cellular kinesthetic level. Is that right?
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. And I sort of touched on the Christ child being born or taking shape and form in a different way. It's like angelic in a way. It's still you. It's always you. And we sort of touched on the fact that after a certain amount of time, I realized that even my inner child has an evolution and it's actually a master. So the inner child
Run with that. Go with that. Yes.
Is the master. This is the master child. And I'm like, oh my God, this 5-year-old Raj is like a little master doing her thing. And now I listen to her in the sense of like, okay, what, she's very wise. Because now that it's like, it's part of the merger that happens. Like we're always fragmented in a way. And then boom, we're always wanting the one, always the oneness.
And I think that we project that onto partnerships constantly. I want the one partner, but really when we come into wholeness, oh, I have my presence. I have my inner child. I have my soul. It seems like from what I'm hearing you say that the minute maybe we even bring that inner child back in, it may be one of the final pieces, particularly relevant to our emotional body, that when we bring that in, we kind of feel more whole. And we may stop maybe projecting outward that we have to have this thing or person.
Yes. Yes. To fulfill these other.
Which then all we do is we project onto that thing, that person, what we don't have. And of course, play out these patterns.
Right.
Our parents actually onto them.
Exactly. Until you come into harmony with it, with the energies inside of yourself. And that's going back to the best parent ever. What I ask myself this all the time when I'm going through like a hard time. I've gone through some stuff. And so I always ask myself, what would the best parent in the world say? What would the best parent in the world do? And then it shows up, like the answers show up very quickly. Oh, the best parent in the world would say, just rest. You are doing great. You've done a lot today. Just go lie down. Okay. Or what would the best parent in the world do right now? They would make me a really delicious meal. Okay. Do that. You know, so you literally giving yourself what you need. It sounds so pedestrian.
Well, and I think that doing it from, I like what you're saying about doing it kind of like third person in terms of what would the best parent do for me in this moment? You know, and then listening to that and then following through. So in a way you are being your own parent, but in a way you're really asking from this higher source, like a divine parent in a sense, what would it do for you? I love that really a lot. Cause I don't think that none of us really seem to take care of ourselves near as well as we maybe could.
Yeah. Or we think we do
in alignment for us.
Here's the thing. We're
inner pushing for acceptance. All that whole list that you just gave, we're always pushing for the approval, the acceptance, the love, the whatever, when in truth, if we just gave ourselves, I just love what you're saying. Say it again.
Okay. This is so awesome. You need to give yourself acceptance. You need to give yourself, your inner child wants to be seen, heard, loved, acknowledged. And it for mine, at least, I think yours too, fun. Like fun is a huge part of it. And there's another thing. Oh yeah. Boundaries, you know, boundary, inner child actually.
Okay. So this is what I'm struggling with right now. Actually, we're coming to our last 3 minutes, but I want to run this by you.
Tell me.
I think a lot of people who are empaths who might be interested in listening to this show are really going to relate to this, but for me, I have a tendency to want to caretake others. Oh, that person's in the hospice center. I pass them every day when I walk and I should give him some chicken soup because I know he's not feeling well. Oh, this person is alone for whatever reason. Oh, this person, somebody died on this day. So I have three people right now in my immediate day that I feel like I should go do things for, right? But, you know, if you're kind of listening to, like, again, from an empath, we do get caught up in trying to take care of other people, parent other people, you know? So as empaths, how does this process work when it comes to taking care of others?
Well, the way that I...
Like boundaries. I mean, it sounds like you were talking about that. So it makes me feel like...
Boundaries and discipline. I feel like our inner child needs discipline sometimes because we'll just run around as adults, you know, we'll work all day and not eat, or we'll sleep a little bit too much and not be as active. So when I say boundaries, it's like, oh, I really want to do this. I really want to go visit my friend in the hospice and I want to take care of this person, and you want to do all the things like a normal, you know, growing child would want to do. But asking your, inner best parent ever.
Inner best help. Parent
like,
ever.
Yeah. What is the truth?
Yeah. Take care of myself today.
Yeah. Or go see one friend.
Yeah. Go see one friend. Yeah, exactly. You know?
And also, can we get rid of the word should? Like, why should you do anything? Why should you do anything?
Absolutely.
You could do it. Yeah.
I love it. So get rid of the word should. Really start asking the best inner parent ever. So that's really kind of the golden key here of just taking the time to do that. So I am so upset that we've come to the end of our show. I feel like I could talk to you for another 3 hours about this.
So much fun,
actually. It really is. So if you want to do more work with Raji, please go to houseofraji.com, houseofraji.com. And she would be more than happy to, in a very fun, playful, loving way, help you to heal the relationship and work with and come into your own master child self. Sounds like it would really help people in their partnerships, their family relationships, their work relationships.
Mm-hmm. Most importantly, I love working on the relationship with yourself because that will inform everything else. And I have a help desk. I have a help desk on my website. Check it out. You can book like a really fast call and I can help you get even direction on what are you actually seeking, because that's like a starting place at least. Like, you might feel like there's something more to life, but you're not sure. And so we can dial in. Yes. Thank you, Adrienne.
Thank you so much. Have a great rest of your day, everybody out there.
Thanks for tuning in to My Wild Magic with me, your host, Adrienne Cobb. Each one of us has a soul purpose on this earth and a higher purpose full of creative expression and unique soul attributes. Make sure to tune in next week on TransformationTalkRadio.com to continue your journey home to your truest self and pursue the path of unconditional self-love. If you would like to learn more about me, visit MyWildMagic.com. Again, that's MyWildMagic.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.